Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. This is your host, Curtis, my co-host, Aaliyah. We're here again today with Mr. Kevin Stewart Panko of Decibel Magazine, V13, Metal Injection, Iron Fist, and a billion different other places he's written for in the past. He is now a regular on the show. He's supposed to be coming on once a month. So this is his first show of the new year. And today we are going to be continuing a topic that we started last month, which was about negative reviews. But today we are going to go on the flip side and we're going to talk about positivity at publications in general, like too much of it and stuff like that. So to start with this, I'm going to bring it over to Aaliyah, who's going to go over the first little bit and start the discussion.
Yeah, well, like Curtis said, we've talked about excessively negative reviews, but we thought it might be interesting to touch on like toxic positivity in the world of music reviews. So how about we just jump off with asking, do you think there's anything wrong with only writing positive reviews?
I should preface, or I should actually point out that it's funny, I didn't think about it, or it didn't hit me until like literally you were introducing that, where it's like the previous episode was negativity and then this one is talking about it, too much positive. It's almost like we're talking about positivity but we're talking about it negatively.
Yes.
But anyway. Mm-hmm. That's funny. I mean, hey, it's like if you get a stack of 10 records to review, 10 downloads to review, however kids consume music these days. And hey, if 10 of them are all turn your crank and you have good things to say about 10 of them, honestly, and you can, you know, live with yourself, look at yourself in the mirror the next day and go, I love all this stuff and I'm going to write this stuff and it's all true to my heart, then hey, go for it. If you're writing 10 positive reviews, but 5 of the records suck, but you're writing 10 positive reviews because you're afraid of offending 5 PR or record company people, then that's where the issue becomes a thing, or becomes an issue.
Let's start here, Kevin, because I know you are a quote unquote lowly writer and you're not like the big wigs or anything like that. But a lot of these places depend upon ad revenue from a lot of people. So,
right.
And I heard this used as a justification not to, and I'm not going to say who has told me this before, but they've used this as a justification to only put positive reviews and positive things in their magazine or blog or whatever. So what do you say to that?
Hey, you know, if you want to do that, that's cool. I have been privy to many conversations over the years and, you know, being honest, have been part of many conversations over the years pertaining to a couple magazines that I have or still write for. I don't know. I have to look it up. But there are a couple places I've written for which have been notorious for having a very sunshiny, don't talk shit about anything review section.
I know that, man.
And I've heard conversations and been involved in conversations where people are like, you know what, this magazine's cool up to the point where it gets to the review section, because everything is just like, there's no way there are 8-10 out of 10 records coming out a month.
Yep.
There are no way that, you know, none of these records are there's nothing negative to be said about any of these albums that are coming. And yep. I mean, we're talking a few years back when review sections and magazines were bigger, mm-hmm. especially the one particular I'm thinking of where it was generally about 150 to 200 word reviews. So there was a lot of stuff being crammed in the review sections. And you know what? It does get to be a pretty monotonous read if everything is just like, yay, 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 fireworks and dick stroking. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So, yeah, I mean, Sorry, what was your question?
What I was saying is, what do you got to say about the, like, I've heard it said, and I'm not going to say specifically the people who have said this to me, that they intentionally don't allow negative material into their thing because of advertisers.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, that's your prerogative, but in terms of the product you're putting out, it's probably not, I mean, the people reading with a critical eye, it's mm-hmm. probably not going to be something that, I mean, that's going to be, you know, a portion of that particular publication or site or whatever that more critical, serious, whatever you want to call them, people are just going to be like, all right, I don't have time for this, because it's just so, it's like, you know, it's like watching, it's like in an echo chamber.
Yeah.
It's like standing in an echo chamber. And I mean, that's cool for, you know, 15, 20 minutes, but after a while, like anything, it just kind of gets boring. So yeah, I mean, I think you're possibly, you know, in trying not to offend anybody from the financial side of things, you might be sort of cheesing off the people on the consumer side of things.
Yeah.
You might be fine with your not wanting to get under anybody's skin, but you possibly are creating or releasing or handing the world I don't want to say inferior product, but something that could be something that's not living up to its potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a difference, because you guys know this, because working in PR, you write press releases, you see press releases, mm-hmm. not just your own, I'm assuming.
yeah, of course.
And over the history of your time in music, you've read music magazines, you've read music websites. Yep. So, you know, you're kind of schooled in the way things go down.
Yep.
You know, the average, you know, the person sitting in a coffee shop on the street, in a bookstore or whatever, who doesn't really have much behind the scenes knowledge, mm-hmm. might not realize that there is a difference between, you know, how these things work, how there's a, you know, there's a press release versus a review. There's,
yep.
You know, all kinds of little things that go on that sort of lead to the product you're holding in your hand or reading yep. on your phone or reading on your computer screen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a tricky thing. I mean, I guess it all kind of comes down to the editor, people in charge of this particular, whatever we're talking about, and what they want to do. I personally, because I guess it's a little bit easier for me in that sense, because I don't have that responsibility. I'm not absolutely unconcerned with ad sales, because I don't have to do it. I don't know anything about, like, who sells, who buys,
yep.
like how they approach, how that gets done. So I can sit back and not have to worry about that stuff and be as positive or as negative as I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, within reason, without being just negative Nelly or just,
yeah.
you know, too positive, whatever. But I think that when it comes to someone like that, me, other people who kind of like take that philosophy or whatever, it's like, when you read something from that person, that writer, or see something in that particular magazine, and that person is known to like go on both sides of whatever, when you see someone give whatever record a 9 or 9.5 out of 10, you'll know, okay, well, that person, I can sort of trust that, you know, this person is doing that because that's what they're is truly in their, going into their ears and out their mouth or out their fingers or whatever in their head. Someone who's, you know, someone who's giving a 9.5, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 to every third record that passes their way, how much weight are you going to give them when it comes to whatever you're reading? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, one more thing I do want to say, though, that you could position it, I think, where everything is positive. Like if you had it as like a tastemaker type thing versus as a review, like if you did an article every month, maybe, where you said, these are my 10 picks of the month for the 10 albums I like, or the 5 albums I like, or something like that, instead of positioning it as being, I am being uncritical.
Right.
But
this that is done as well.
Exactly.
If someone wants to know that from me or anybody else, you can ask me, or you can ask them. If you want that in print somewhere or online somewhere, ask me to do it. I'll do it. If you hand me something and say, all right, give me your honest opinion on this, I'll do that.
Yeah.
So if on the flip side of that, if you want to say to me, hey, give us a list of the 5 worst records you've heard this month for a column in whatever, I'll do that too.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, man. To me, it's just so simple. It's just basically, like, I always say this to people. It's like being an umpire. You call it like you see it.
Yeah.
I don't see what's so complicated. You know what I mean? But I do see what's so complicated, because like you're saying, there's money involved. There's, you know, people trying to survive. There's only so many ad dollars to go around. There's, you know, not wanting to offend people. And, you know, sure, no one wants to, like, I don't know. No one wants to, like, or I guess there are people who want to, like, deliberately get into squabbles with other people, but
there are.
I don't do that. I don't know. I'm just,
you're also not online. Dude. You, man. You're not online. So, like, you can't really, what are you going to do? Fucking email everybody? Reads your shit?
Yeah. And I mean, I think that from the artist's standpoint as well, it's like, you can't expect everybody out there to blow smoke up your ass, or is that the expression, blow smoke up your ass or whatever? So yep. you put out your debut demo album, whatever, you know, chances are there's going to be one or two people out there who don't like. I know people who don't like Kill 'Em All. It's astounding to me that people don't like Kill 'Em All, but there are people out there who don't like Kill 'Em All.
That is weird. Okay.
Yeah. But they're, you know, so you have to expect that no matter how good you think you are, how good your girlfriends or boyfriends think you are, that there are going to be people out there who don't like you. And as the artist, you know, you want to take that in. You want to, like, okay, you know, this, all these people are saying, this is great, this is great, this is great. But there's, you know, there's a handful of people out there who are saying this, and maybe we should sort of balance it out and take a look at what the, you know, the broader spectrum of people are saying, if you are concerned with other people are saying.
Fair. Now, Aaliyah, since Aaliyah is the only person in a bit, well, not the only, I know you've played in bands, Kevin, but you're currently recording as far as I know.
Thank God.
Well, are you still recording?
No, hell no. I haven't picked up a guitar in like 20 years, dude.
Okay, I knew you used to be, and I was like,
wait a minute. Yeah, well, totally.
Okay, but so I want to let's switch us over to Aaliyah for a second, because Aaliyah is in a band, and yes. I want to get her perspective on what you just said, because her band is just releasing something, and she's gotten both positive and some so-so reviews. So I want to get her take on this.
Some so-so reviews, right? My take on it, though, I really, everything that Kevin has said, is it makes sense, and I don't think that there is value in things that are just positive for the sake of being positive. It's not honest, and to me, as a person, as a musician, authenticity is like a top priority. And just being genuine. And it's hard to believe anyone is genuine if all they're saying is positive things.
Yeah.
So while I much prefer a constructive criticism review that has positive and negative points, as opposed to 100% just trashing it, because there's not much value in just trashing it. I don't think there's, to the point of, even the point of ad dollars, which I know I can't really professionally speak to because I don't own a magazine, yep. But continuing on that topic of being authentic and genuine, I think that is something that people and metalheads in general gravitate towards. And maybe I'm being optimistic there, or maybe I'm just deluding myself into thinking everyone is like me, but I do think that if you're genuine, then you're going to grow your audience more as a magazine. And then the record labels and the PR agencies can't afford not to advertise with you. Right. So it's just about building reputation.
And two things about that. It's like you were saying, there's not a lot of value in just trashing something 100% for the sake of trashing something. I will tell you that, yes, but I will tell you also on the other side of that, and I know we're trying to avoid naming names and stuff like this, but there was a magazine many, many years ago that I used to write for, and how do I dance around this with that? Basically, there was an album that was reviewed by somebody, or sorry, an album that was released by somebody close to the magazine and somebody else. And I don't know who was, I don't know the real family tree or whatever you want to call it, like the real story, like who was friends with who and what, blah, 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 because this happened in another country. I just happened to be a freelancer who lived here and wrote for the magazine. But so this album was released, and you know, from all accounts, a decent album. I remember hearing it at the time, but this review that was written for this particular magazine was literally the most positive, like just over the top, going on about this record destined to be a classic, better than Master of Puppets, better than that.
No.
And there was a lot of backlash as far as I remember. I mean, there was a lot of backlash in my head. Just, I'm like, yeah, fuck this. Like, I'm just like, there's no way this record is as good as this person is saying.
You know, I wish I'd say who this was, because I'm like, what?
It was nepotism.
I don't know what it was, but, you know, that sort of created this backlash where it was like, you know, no. Right. And yeah. So there you go. I mean, it works on both sides of the coin. And another thing, mm-hmm. I mean, and this has happened to me a bunch of times, and I you know, it's kind of weird because I don't really like talking about myself, you know, in a lot of ways, but at the same time, I know I'm on here to talk about myself and my experiences. But anyway, mm-hmm. So, you know, there have been countless times over the years, and I've been doing this a long time, where I've written something that was not to a record company or a PR person's liking. And I've literally been taken off of people's mailing lists because fuck you, this, that, and everything else. And it's like, oh, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I guess, you know, I don't want to like toot my own horn or anything, but you know, I haven't stopped. And a couple months into this sort of boycott or whatever of me, suddenly, you know, stuff starts slowly showing up again. Mm-hmm. I guess they're realizing that, oh, wait a second, this guy actually, he actually writes this stuff. And all right, fine, we'll add them back to our mailing list. And this has happened like countless times, dude, over the years. It's so ridiculous. I don't know what the point of that part of the story was, but I think it falls on both sides of the coin. Like, you know, I think that there's got to be some kind of measure and balance to all of this. And I think that if you as an artist or you as a musician in a band and stuff, you know, hopefully you don't think you're the greatest things in the sliced bread, because nobody is. And you, hopefully you're listening to some description or some amount of what people have to say to address how you want to improve going forward.
Yeah.
Every band worth its salt does it. Even Metallica. It's like, you know, they've constantly said to themselves, all right, how are we going to do? What are we going to do different?
Yeah.
Well, and maybe even the people, it could be that even the journalists that are writing criticisms might be writing things that you already knew in the back of your mind were true, but you were like kind of waffling between two decisions or something. And, you know, they help you process those thoughts. And I was just thinking about that earlier today. I was like, how can bands integrate the criticisms of journalists without compromising the integrity of their music?
Well, I will give you an example, a personal example, not related to, well, not a band example, but I wrote a book a few years ago, and when we did it, we made the mistake of not doing the final edit on a printed copy. We did it on a screen. And after, you know, however long of staring at a screen, a lot of mistakes got by. And people weren't afraid to point that out. And it's fair criticism because there were some atrocious spelling mistakes and punctuation mistakes and whatever that just kind of caught by or slipped by because you're staring at a glowing piece of machinery as opposed to something, you know, in your hand and not getting a different perspective. And now I know if I ever decide to write a book again, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, I knew that. I had that, I knew that, but I also had it confirmed by having to have it told to me by people who reviewed the book. So there you go.
Yeah, a good example.
Just kind of swerving a little bit. We got about 10 minutes left, just so you guys both know. So we are going to have to be concise. Anyways, what I was going to say was, so Kevin, how do you kind of balance out the positivity and the negativity?
In overall or in a particular something, like specific?
Overall, when you're doing reviews, like you don't want to be too positive, you don't want to be too negative, right?
I would love to be able to be 100% positive about something. Let me think here. A recent example, I guess, of my most positive positiveness of recent note was I reviewed the new Obscura album somewhere. I don't remember where, but I literally think that's their best album, probably the best technical melodic, whatever death metal album of the last however many years. And yeah, I mean, I couldn't stop going off about it. Great. Yeah, you know, it's okay. but at the same time, it's like I'm writing and I'm when I'm going over, I'm like, wow, this is, you know, very, very positive or whatever, flowery, whatnot, deservedly so. And I have to sort of stop and think to myself, well, is there anything that I deliberately want to point out that's like maybe not 100% about this album? I don't exactly remember what I did, but I don't want to, my point is that I don't want to force myself to go one way or the other just for the sake of it. If there is no, you know, like I don't want to pull a carpet out from a great album just because, oh, I didn't like the drum sound or something. You know what I mean? Like the new Abath album. I don't know if you've heard it yet, but great record.
The album, I've heard the singles, but
yeah, great record. But the drum sound, from what I've heard anyway, I'm just, it's not doing it for me, but you know, it's not like a St. Anger thing. It hasn't ruined the experience of it. It's still a great album.
I didn't like it, what I heard, but anyways.
But I don't, well, yeah, but here's the thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, when it comes time, if I end up having this assigned to me, is that something I'm going to point out for the sake of just because, or is that something that I'm going to gloss over? And I guess, I mean, I'm a human being, so it's going to depend on my mood and, you know, also what else is in the review and maybe depending on where it is, word counts and stuff like that. So, take it with a grain of salt, man, on all sides of it. It's like grain of salt for me, grain of salt from the person who's created that work, grain of salt for the people who are reading it. I was thinking about it the other day as well, and on sort of a related topic where it's like, I was reading this review somewhere and like, it almost seemed like they were just trying to get every detail they could sort of squeeze into this review about the record. It was recorded at this studio. This is the producer. This is the engineer. This is where this sample came from. And I'm just like, is this a review or is he just like throwing up bullet points at me, but disguising them in sentences, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it depends, like also what you want to include and how you want to include it. I mean, I try to be a bit more creative, I guess you'd say, or
yeah,
wise assy. Is that a word? You know, a bit more entertaining, I guess. But you know, if you're going for sheer facts, I don't know. I mean, there's so many there's such a glut of outlets out there, which means there's going to be, there's like a saturation and a glut of outlets out there, which means there's going to be a saturation and glut of a way to review any particular release, especially if it's something big like the Abath record, where every website's going to jump on it. Every magazine's going to have some mention of it somewhere. So, you know, how many ways are there to like write about the same 8 or 9 songs?
So now we only got a couple minutes left. I'm going to let Aaliyah actually do the final thing. So we've got like 4 minutes left, guys. So we got to kind of squeeze it.
The final thing. Don't do that to me, because then I asked my the last questions in the list, and I didn't ask my other questions, and I don't know.
Pick out the best one. Go. I'll try and keep it under a minute, which isn't going to happen.
I got something quick as an aside.
No. She's gone.
How many times before? But and this is going to be quick. Before Leah says the final.
Because I think of something to say.
Did you listen to that? Your album before you gave it a 9.5. I got.
Sorry, say that. You cut out a bit. What'd you say?
Sorry, I'm trying to say this quickly. How many times did you listen to that Obscura album before you actually gave it a 9.5?
The interesting thing about that is that I reviewed that first for a different magazine or different publication before the 9.5 one. So I listened to it in two different headspaces, and it's an album that just got better with me. So a lot. And I was listening to it in between when I wasn't even assigned that second one before I was assigned that second one. So I, you know, I'm a bona fide fan of that record, whether I had to review it or not. And so maybe if I had to review it in a month or so going forward, it would be a 10 out of 10. I don't know.
You're still not answering the question. How many times did you listen to it before you gave it 9.5?
I don't know. A bunch. A lot. Like,
more than five? Less than five?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Way more than five, dude. Like we're talking like 20.
Okay. What's that? I had to ask that question. It wasn't like a one time, this is a 9.5 review.
No. Hell no. No. Like,
cool. That's all I had to ask. Okay.
I wanted to ask, actually, I thought of this in the moment while you were talking about it. And I can see an argument either way, but there are some reviewers that don't like to give a number rating. They'd rather just talk about the points of the album that they liked and that they didn't like and not give a number rating. What do you think about that? Do you think there's value in or a benefit to the number system, ranking system?
Yes and no. I mean, we don't have a lot of time, so I don't know how much I can get into this, but there are good and bad points to it if it is used in the sort of balanced critical way that we've been sort of alluding to this entire discussion. So yes. I mean, I'm perfectly fine to write or read something with or without a number.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion.
I have a statement to add here, because I have a slight bitch about something, because you wrote for Metal Maniac, so I can say this to you. That one thing I fucking hated about Metal Maniacs is that there was never a score, and then you had to read the entire review, and some of those guys just went on and on and on and on and on. You were always good, but
no, really.
I've always liked your writing, Kevin. I'm not just like tooting your horn or anything like that, but I hated, that was the one thing I hated about Metal Maniacs. They usually covered good bands, but just no score.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point. You know, it kind of forces you to be a better writer if you don't have that, because you have to write something that people want to read.
For an album to listen to at the same time, and you just kind of want to skim. It's like, I got to read the entire fucking thing, and you're like, I don't want
to
do that.
It also forces you to read too. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. The only real problem I had, the only real two problems I have with Metal Maniacs was the shitty newsprint and the font they used. So there you go.
Fonts are everything.
That was a terrible font. That was the worst. Ugh. The sans serif bullshit.
Okay, what else do we got, Aaliyah? I think it's time for you to do your final.
It's time to wrap it up. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on, and everyone listening. Thanks. Until next time. Make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.